Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. And then.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
That's right. It's time for you. Unicorn Cash. Cash code right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. This hour's code word is DRAW. Text DRAW, D-R-A-W. Text DRAW, D-R-A-W to 72881. You've got 1 hour to text DRAW to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Data and message rates may apply. Your next chance to win is right here on the Jeff Calkins Show at 9. On the Jeff Calkins Show at 10 o'clock when I'll give you another Unicorn cash code. One last time, text DRAW, D-R-A-W, text DRAW, D-R-A-W to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say.
Tuesday, we're giving away unicorn. What is unicorn cash? Is it? Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is an Entercom thing. It's not just a
correct.
It's not just a 92.9 thing.
Correct.
Do we call it unicorn cash because of a James Wiseman? Is
correct.
That why we can brand it however we wanted?
Precisely.
We could call it Grit and Grind Cash a few years ago. Whatever. Yeah. Other people do not. It is not in Buffalo, where I listen to the Entercom station, as you know. It is not called Unicorn Cash.
Indeed, that would be correct.
It's called Josh Allen Bucks or something like that, right?
Yes, or draft lottery or draft hockey Saber draft lottery.
Isn't it amazing how big Sabres didn't do well in the lottery? Isn't it amazing how big James Wiseman is? I saw a picture of him the other day going to his prom, and it was so sweet. Because it reminded you that James Wiseman, who is this? It's just his name. James Wiseman, it's this. It's the future. It's this. It's so many people have so many hopes pinned on James Wiseman and everything else. He's going to this prom.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a kid.
I think it's probably one of the biggest. I don't know. Misconception is not the word, but it's definitely one of the things fans struggle with the most is you just think, okay, well, we watch them as athletes and whatnot, but you forget the human element.
And they're massive human, and they're large humans who do extraordinary things.
Right. They can do things we can't even imagine.
To go back to the Johnny Newman story from last week when he passed away, and he was generally considered to have, let's be honest, we learned some things about him that he was devout in a way that I don't think I necessarily understood, and generous in a way that I don't think I necessarily understood, but was also an incredible me guy when it came to being a basketball player, and had his priorities all screwed up, right?
Basically.
Indeed. Basically. And it's a miracle that you wouldn't, isn't it?
Oh,
can you imagine it? I mean, teenagers are self-centered anyway. That's the way they're wired, right?
Correct.
Can you imagine being James Wiseman? Everyone ought to be asking you, how does Elliot Perry get to be as grounded and as normal as he is when you are now, he wasn't as much of a superstar as fast, but he was a superstar pretty clearly by the time he got in high school. How does one, I think that, to me, the surprise is when, and it's why when people say, Peyton Manning's a really nice guy, he's really no nicer guy than you, right?
Correct.
It's on the curve, we grade him on the for an athlete curve, they're a nice guy.
Correct.
Mike Conley is an incredibly nice guy.
Correct.
He is an incredibly nice guy. There's no question about that. He gives lots of money to sickle cell. He's relatively, but if he were your neighbor, you'd just say he was your neighbor, nice guy. I got a nice neighbor, right? He's not
correct.
He's not Mother Teresa, nice guy.
Correct.
Like but
oftentimes, basically, what we're just saying is he's a human being.
Considering
yes.
what the considering the money he makes, the acclaim he's gotten, the fame that he operates under, it's incredible that he's down to earth and as decent a guy as he is, and he is a decent guy, right?
Yes,
given the and you also hear that about certain celebrities,
true.
Like our well, the person's really nice, and we're kind of surprised because we kind of assume that the system turns them into jerks. And by all accounts, James Wiseman seems to still be a nice guy. But I was touched when I saw him there at the prom.
In the prom.
I just thought it was a reminder to me. Yes, he is the future of Memphis
mm-hmm.
basketball. All of our hopes and dreams mm-hmm. are pinned to him. But he's going to his
with
prom.
A corsage.
Yes, but so too is a cord. Mm-hmm. Wait, does he wear it? No. He just pins the corsage
lapel. I don't know. What do you call the lapel thing that you wear?
A boutonniere.
There you go.
Isn't that what you call it?
Close. Sure.
I think you call it that. You wear that lapel thing. That's
yeah.
right.
The flower on the lapel.
Maroon tuxedo.
That's a good look.
It's
a good look.
Maroon was big mm-hmm. in the 1970s mm-hmm. when I went to my prom with Jamie Walker, otherwise known as Jamie Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
She was tall.
Yes.
Anyway.
How was her jump shot?
I don't know if she played basketball or
mm-hmm.
not.
More of a volleyball girl.
We went as the proverbial friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were not in any kind of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with, people treat women badly. I don't know if you ever noticed this. And then I went in, that was my junior prom. My senior prom, I went with Karen Wood,
mm-hmm.
also as a friend.
Yes. I'm noticing a theme.
Yeah, right. But like Karen Wood,
mm-hmm.
her best friend was Dina Will, right?
Who, of course.
And they were known as being, say this, I don't even know if it's true.
Right.
But they were known as being sort of advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so the what people used mm-hmm. to, God, people were mean.
Mm-hmm. Kids are mean. It's why I can't stand whenever
Karen,
it's like
it
kids
was,
are the best.
Was,
like, no, kids are really mean.
Karen Wood and Dina Will is
yes.
how people used to say. Like if you say, Karen
yes.
Wood and Dina Will.
Mm-hmm.
Like that
yes.
was the big thing. And I was intimidated.
It's an unfortunate last name.
And I was intimidated by that. Karen Wood and Dina
Apparently
Will.
Apparently not enough to not ask him to prom.
And Jamie Skywalker. Like the idea that everybody had a derogatory nickname. What a horrific, horrific time. I actually was talking to Andrew. Who, and by the way, we do have a sports show to get to. I was talking to Andrew, my graduating senior, who, as I've said, is on the autism spectrum. And I was asking him the other day if he ever had he went to Lausanne. First he went to campus school, and then he went to Lausanne. So a blend of public and private. And I asked him if he ever had a moment of someone being unkind to him.
Okay.
In
reasonable question.
Can you guess the answer to that?
I'm going to bet Andrew said no.
The answer's no.
Yeah.
Now, I think some of that is, are people less mean? Like, I do think schools are more aware of it, and it's not just accepted, boys will be boys kind of thing. I don't think it's just as accepted. I also do think, I'll be honest, that it's something of the atmosphere that is fostered at Lausanne. And in campus school before then. Like, those are both really sweet places that are, I don't know, where people would, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are people mean at MUS?
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
I get the sense that an all-boys school would have a little, same with CB, Christian Brothers, would have a little bit more of I'm totally projecting, slightly more Lord of the Flies kind of element to it.
Yes, I would say that's fair. I mean, there's still the idea, you know, a boys school, you elevate yourself by ripping someone else. I mean, there's still that element. But I will also say I think it's been beneficial for me in general in the long run because I think I have pretty thick skin.
It's toughened you up. It's the old toughen you up theory.
Well,
I don't subscribe to people should be mean to each other toughen them up
theory.
I'm not
saying like that they should. I'm just saying I think you've worked with me enough. Like, very little gets to me.
No, you are. You are like the exact, in terms of that, you are the exact opposite of my previous producer. Nothing bothers you.
Yeah, and I do, that was...
And that's because you were toughened up? But
yeah.
John went to the mean streets of White Station, and he wasn't even in the optional program. Talk about the mean streets.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He should have been toughened up.
I just think that it's kind of, I don't even know if it's a survival instinct, but like...
I mean,
The thing about boys' school is if a group of 14-year-old boys sense weakness...
Well, that's the thing, though. But
they
like,
pounce.
That's not nice. That's not very kind.
I'm not saying that it's a. I'm not defending it. I am saying that there are byproducts.
I went to a public school where I never once went to the bathroom in the entire time I was there. Never entered the boys' bathroom because that's where the people who smoked and who would flush my head down a toilet and would hung out. Like, and so if I needed to, I got very good at self-control.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I needed to, I would go to the nurse's office, like maybe once or twice a year, because there was a bathroom that you could enter in safely. We used to have a designated smoking area where we would call them the hoods.
Mm-hmm.
The hoods.
And now, of course, everyone knows it's a designated vaping area.
Is there a designated? There's no one has a designated vaping area. You're not allowed to vape at school.
I mean, probably not in high school, seeing as it's still technically illegal for most students.
But we had literally in high school a designated smoking area.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of insane, too. And as I've told Gary before, we swam naked.
Yeah.
We swam naked in gym class. And that, things are...
Well, you can't have the restrictive... You're faster when you swim naked.
Enough of this. It's sweet that James Wiseman's going to prom, and we're giving away unicorn cash. That's where it started.
Yes.
We're giving away unicorn cash. Today on the program, Gary Parrish is going to join us in the next segment. I'll tell you what struck me about all of this stuff that's emerging from New York.
Okay.
It's quote-unquote shocking revelations, right?
For some people.
From New York, right?
Sure.
I don't know if you know this, I am a former lawyer, and I'm a professional sports writer and sports talker.
Yes.
I don't even know what the hell's happening up there. I don't really know who's on trial. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're on trial. I don't know what the hell's happening. And there's nothing to me that is shocking about any of this. It's, indeed, I mean, some people are, I've had some people tweeting, because I wrote a column once saying, that Will Wade is getting it done in recruiting at LSU compared to Tubby. And by the way, he was. There's no question about that. Just like Penny's getting it done compared to Tubby. Basically, anyone was getting it done. But so someone quoted it to Dan Wetzel yesterday on Twitter, my column, about whatever, and I, as if to shame me.
Correct.
Right? I feel no shame.
At all.
At all. Zero. Like, I don't think he should keep his job now, because I think once you're caught, you're kind of doomed. But was there anything? There's nothing, and I really do believe this. Literally, you take the top off of any successful program, with the possible exception of Michigan, is what Gary says, or whatever. And this is, listen, if LSU is paying whatever for Naz, right? What are they competing against? They're not competing. They're not just competing against people who are offering playing time.
No, it's why I've always laughed at
it's stupid.
Whenever anyone when Ole Miss was going through their NCAA issues and everyone's saying they're cheating like mad, into which I would always reply with, well, they're going against Alabama, they're going against LSU, they're going against everyone. And all of a sudden, first off, by the way, they were losing on signing day, so you do the math on that one. And it's I'm with you. Like,
this is like, what's his name, Armstrong?
Bill?
The biker.
Oh, Lance.
Like, it's like Lance. When Lance was winning all these races,
yeah,
and he was clean and everybody else was dirty,
yeah.
You had to be an idiot to think that he was actually clean.
Yeah, in a sport of dirty people, that the one clean guy's winning.
Destroying everybody.
Yeah.
Do you believe Ben really Johnson, that LSU is bidding only against themselves?
Absolutely
here?
Not.
No. This is just literally the world. And it just
same
so
reason
happens.
I don't believe that some kids decide all of a sudden after not having Duke on their list, all of a sudden they decided they really want to go slap the floor and play some defense for Coach USA.
There were two really interesting things that were in the tidbits. I mean, there wasn't much shocking that came out to me. It was shocking because there it is, like right there. There were two really interesting tidbits. One is that they would specifically aim to not get players to commit on their visits. Because that, they'd say, go take two more visits after this.
Yeah.
Because it would raise questions about, quote unquote, what happened on the visit.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they would say, yeah, we're giving you this money, whatever, but go take two more visits, and then that way it'll look cleaner. That was one. And secondly,
keep the sin off.
That the assistant at Arizona was, even though he made $250,000 a year, was in financial trouble because he was spending so much on players.
I will say the one thing that surprised me the most wasn't so much that, as Book was saying, that he was broke, essentially broke.
That's the aforementioned assistant, yes.
That didn't surprise me.
What a name, too, Book.
What did surprise me, though, is that he oftentimes, even if you have an assistant that, let's just say, is heading up the operation, he typically, in most cases, is not the person handing over the money. There's usually another step between that to have some plausible deniability. That surprised me.
One of the reasons that Book was doing it with his own money was to eliminate, to make it.
Correct. And their argument.
To make it more
exactly.
secure for him.
Correct.
The other people wouldn't be involved, and he'd just do it all himself.
Correct.
He'd use his own money. He was tapping his retirement account, evidently, according to the testimony, to pay players.
Mm-hmm.
This is pure insanity. Anyway, all right, we'll talk to GP about all of that and other things. I'm sure he's excited that Amazon Prime is now offering is working on one-day delivery.
Shipping, yeah.
One-day free shipping.
Are we ever going to get the drones bring in your stuff?
They have Amazon Now.
Yeah.
In various places, in limited places. But anyway, Chris Harrington's going to join us at 10 o'clock, talk NBA with him. Some former Grizzlies are out there playing well or playing badly, depending on the circumstances. Was not the best night for Marc Gasol. It was all of you Marc Gasol critics. You could glory in the fact that he was not taking shots last night.
Boy, do they pounce immediately, too.
Oh, no, this is the best. It's the best. Like, he passes. And he did. He passed up shots. There's no question. Like,
he also missed. He did exactly what he always does. When he comes out early.
And he hits shots, then he keeps shooting.
And then when he realizes he doesn't have it, then he starts passing.
Yeah, so, but he was not that much of an asset last night. Let's be honest, the bigger issue was their bench, which has been absolutely horrific. And Jimmy Butler. I mean, that was also their biggest issue. So anyway, we'll talk to him about that and about former players who've gone on to. James Ennis was playing pretty well. Rodney Hood, who's not a former player but could have been a former player, had they just drafted him. Playing pretty well. We'll talk to him about some Grizzlies who got away. And there's some over-unders, early over-under win totals out in the NFL.
Yes, there are. Updated win totals.
Post-draft, post-free agency updated win totals, which we will get to. All right, before I do any of that, though, I don't know how I missed it. Jarvis.
Yes, 40 freaking years.
40 years. 40 years. I've been here 96, so 23. He's basically doubled me. Jarvis has. And it's funny, in a time of fractured consumption, right? When we all, I'll be honest, who watches the local news anymore? I don't know. Are the local news numbers down? I have to assume they are from what they once used to be. Once upon a time, you'd come home.
Hang on, let me text my source.
You'd flip on the TV. You would look at you'd watch the local news. For me back in Buffalo, that was WKBW with Irv Weinstein on sports. And then you'd watch the national news. And it was either Tom Brokaw or it was Dan Rather or it was Peter Jennings or whatever. Like, it was those dudes. And, like, those are the people. And now it's 100% fractured. Both there's a bazillion other sources, but there's also everyone comes at it from the slices it up in their own way. Jarvis has remained a icon. I think we can call him an icon. When we were coaching in the celebrity coaching game, Mike Norvell called. Let's be honest. He was able to describe Doc and Jarvis as former Memphis Tigers to the team. So that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't call us that, me and Molo. So he had to call us something else. So he called us icons because flunkies wouldn't work, like, or the overmatched mm-hmm. whatever wouldn't work. So, but the true icon, let's be honest, is Jarvis is the true icon. And we've done this before. Media icons in Memphis, you'd have to say Joe Birch, right? I mean, in some ways, isn't it like Joe Birch, Dave Brown?
Yes.
Jarvis?
Yes.
Are those the three biggest?
I think so, because, you know, when George stepped away from TV, like, he was WREG's biggest guy. And no offense, I love Mike Sadie, but I don't think Sadie's on the same level as Jarvis.
Well, I mean, Sadie does a great job. He works his ass off, breaks news, etc.
Yes.
But there is this, there is a certain, maybe he came too late to be iconic. You know what I mean?
I definitely think that's the, like, because Jarvis has been there so long.
Let me ask you this, was Harold Grader an icon? Harold Grader was a big part of the firmament when I got here. Harold Grader was sort of, it was George and Harold and Jarvis. And, that was the guts of it. Now there's been a lot more. Honestly, let's be honest. People rotate through.
Well,
much
for sure.
More.
Now it's now
the revolving door.
The local sports guy in Memphis is now considered a stepping stone. Like, I love Jessica. I love Jessica Benson, but I presume Jessica's dreams are not telling the sports stories in Memphis for the rest
of
her life.
Jessica Benson's really good.
Yes,
I do too. Like, she's really good. In fact, we should get her on, except she's on Kevin Cerrito's show on Saturdays. I don't know if he'd allow, if they're, I don't know if they have an exclusive arrangement.
Kevin texted me this morning, so I think
they have an exclusive arrangement. We should get Jessica Benson on. She's
sure.
Really good. So yes, there's lots of good people.
Right.
But there's a difference between good people and this sort of iconic.
Well, it's
status.
Like you've said, the Tiger basketball beat job. It's typically considered the Tiger basketball beat job.
You
right, it was considered
it.
A stepping
I'll be
stone
stunned.
Shot.
I'll be honest. I'll be stunned if Drew Hill is here in 2 years, right?
Correct.
He does a really good job, and I'll be stunned if he's here in 2 years. Okay, but let me. Here's one of the things I think is interesting about this, is that everyone says that what sells, negative sells, right? And I saw a criticism of, I don't even know what station it was, on Facebook today. Someone was criticizing one of the local stations for leading their broadcast. I can't even vouch for this is true, so I apologize for my irresponsibility here. Leading their broadcast with a stabbing that happened in Arkansas 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Right? Like, and so there is an element that negative and scariness does sell. I always resent it when one of the local TV stations will tweet out some story about, she drowned her 6 kids and feels no remorse, right? And you then click on it, and it's from Spokane.
Details at 6.
And you're just like, come on, man, seriously?
Right, that's not the local news.
That is not, that's just you trying to, and you didn't tell us in the tweet that it was from Spokane. Like, that irritates the hell out of me when that happens. But what's interesting to me about all the icons that we've mentioned, and there's others, Purvis is another one. I mean, there's certainly other icons here. But fundamentally, they're all upbeat.
The local news broadcast?
Like,
yeah.
The people that we really like, I think it says something. Joe Birch is.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I definitely, from a personality, yes. I completely agree with you.
Beat. Dave Brown was like your dad, totally upbeat. Now, he would give you the bad news when there was a tornado descending upon you, right? But
oh, I thought you meant like when the king was going to give up the belt.
When the king was going to give up the belt. But then Jarvis is impossibly upbeat. He's more upbeat. I try to be upbeat. We joke that I try to walk on what's walking on sunshine. But Jarvis is relentlessly upbeat. And so this
and
idea.
And it's so genuine because there are some people that are upbeat and you go, is that person really like that? No, Jarvis falls into that category where it's super
here's
genuine.
Here's the question. Because there's three explanations to this. One is it the difference between local? Let me give you all three explanations first.
All right.
Is the difference between local and national?
Okay.
Is it the difference between then and now? In other words, we grandfathering in people. Once upon a time, we wanted to people to be nice. Is it local versus national? Is it then versus now?
I think the other argument would be that in general, like television has.
Or do we actually like upbeat people? People are just misguided about it. Because if you look at a lot of the wildly successful national people, right? I think Dan Patrick's fundamentally upbeat. Right, he's a fundamentally upbeat guy. I don't think Colin Coward necessarily is a fundamentally upbeat guy. I don't think Rush Limbaugh is. Like a lot of what you hear on TV, both on the politics, whatever, is complaining, whining, etc. Right, and it's attack. And so, why is it that we love the upbeat? I've said this before. It's a lesson to me. I read the Buffalo journalists, and they irritate me with their negativism. Totally irritate me, and it has helped framed my approach to this stuff. I don't shy away from bad stories when they happen, and it's a lot easier to write nice stuff now that it's Mike Norvell and Penny Hardaway leading the programs because good things are happening. People say occasionally, you write differently. And I write differently about Mike Norvell than I did about Larry Porter. I write differently about Penny Hardaway than I did about Tubby Smith. And that has much less to do with me than with them. But it's also true that I have kind of realized that life is not supposed to be hell and gloominess. It's just not. Like it's, and particularly our corner of the world is not.
No, my answer to you would be, I think in general, if you're going to be on camera, you have to be charismatic. And I think.
But you don't have to be charismatic in a likable way.
Right, but I do think in general, like for instance, the reason.
I mean, in an upbeat way, like whether it's pick your favorite Fox personality or pick Rachel Maddow, those people aren't being happy all the time.
No, but I'm talking particularly on local TV. There has to be some type of connection.
That's like Katie Couric was nice, right? There has to be a likability factor.
Well, I mean, before obviously we found out the horrific nature, like. Part of Matt Lauer's charm was he looked like the good-looking, you know what I mean?
He had a button on a door that would close automatically from his desk.
Yes.
That is the sleaziest of sleazy. He had a door that would close behind you. You'd walk in, you'd be a young woman,
was like a scene out of a movie.
And he
like,
would close the door behind you. I'm going to bet Jarvis doesn't have such a door.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jarvis does not have such a door.
Happy birthday to Jarvis Greer. When we come back, GP is going to explain to me what in God's name is happening in New York, whether Will Wade and Sean Miller will survive, and other important matters. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis has the unicorn players. 92.9 has the unicorn cash. Listen at the top of every hour for the code word. Text that word to 72881. Data message rates apply. National contest. You could win the unicorn cash. Crazy good players. Crazy amounts of cash for you.
That's crazy.
Win $1,000 every hour. Saddle up. It's Unicorn Cash every hour, weekdays 7 a.m. through 7 p.m., 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add one voice mobility line and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without EcoBill and autopay. Offer ends 5/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 30.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses. And it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money borrowed within 72 hours and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loans should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The sun's streaming in. If you go to Affordable Blinds, all you got to do is say, Alexa, open my blinds. And those motorized blinds will come open and the sun will come shining in and you'll feel better about yourself and your whole darn life. That's why Ryan Olson's gone to Affordable Blinds. It's why my man John Martin has gone to Affordable Blinds. It's why you should go to Affordable Blinds. Chip Wiggins, local Memphian, started the business it's much bigger than him now, but he always makes the sales calls, the first consulting calls himself. He'll come out. We've got a beautiful mobile showroom, show you all the options. If you want to get some sense of it before, you can go to their Facebook page, Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page, and you'll see the kind of things that are available, whether it's plantation shutters, which that's what John Martin's getting, or whether it's those nice, gorgeous outdoor, outside of the house shutters that can sort of transform how your house looks from the outside. He'll show you all that. He'll measure it. He'll give you an estimate. You don't have to wrestle with this yourself. And within 1-3 weeks, it could be all done and installed. Phone number 753-5822, 753-5822. AffordableBlindsOfMemphis.com is the website. Joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish is the host. By now you know this. He's the host of the Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 every single day, national college basketball columnist for CBSSports.com, multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of urology, and a man who loves to tell you all the spoilers that you don't want to hear. He joins me now. GP, how are you? Gary Parrish. We have no Gary Parrish.
I'm here.
I'm sorry. Sorry about
that. And I'm good. I'm just sitting here trying to still figure out how Arya went undetected to get close enough to the Night King to kill him.
God,
in
we are
Sunday
not
night
a spoiler
Game
show
Thrones
here. We are not a spoiler show.
I still don't really understand how Arya got
Gary,
that close to the Night King
Gary,
without
being
detected.
I rewatched last night, and
rewatched.
If you watch the scene, Bran, when the Night King approaches Bran is clearly looking off into the distance. And I think at that point, Bran recognizes that Arya is about to make her move.
I think Bram was looking off into the distance because he's on edibles like 24/7.
Yeah, that does seem also to be another fair conclusion.
Gary, have you watched? He just said he rewatched this TV show. Now, I've rewatched things. Like, I'll stumble upon an old Seinfeld or something, and 10 years will pass, and I'll rewatch it. Have you ever gone back and rewatched an episode of anything right after you watched it?
Not right after, but I have done that with Game of Thrones. Not watched full episodes, but I watch scenes. So what I'll do, and I always say when I'm talking about Game of Thrones, I'm like, I'm not obsessed with it like other people are, but I do find myself like, on my way home last night after the radio show, listening to a Game of Thrones podcast on my drive home, right? Because there are people who dissect it in ways that I just don't pay that close attention, right? They just see things I don't see. And so I'll listen to them, and then they'll explain something that happened, and I'll be like, oh, I might have been looking at Twitter when that happened. So I'll go back and watch a scene. I went back and watched Arya kill the Night King about two or three times just to see – you know, just to watch it again. But I don't watch full episodes again. I don't have that kind of time.
You do go back and watch murders. Anyway, this is fascinating. Okay, onward. So what struck me as all these bombshells were emerging from the story from New York, what struck me is two things. How little I care, how little I am surprised, and how little I know what the hell is going on. And those are all related to each other, right? It's not some like people were tweeting at me about Will Wade. Ha ha! You were wrong about Will Wade, and you know, at some level, sure, but no, like this is these people got unlucky, didn't they? I mean, with all due respect, they got unlucky. But explain to me first, who's on trial? Who's on trial? What the hell is happening?
It's funny you bring this up because Matt Norland and I did basically an entire podcast on this trial last week. And after I got done with it, I realized we never actually – like we talk about everything that's being said in court and all the videos and the wire gets. But I think if you were to ask a casual college basketball fan
– no idea.
Or
me, a professional sports writer, lawyer. It's because I don't really care enough, honestly. I have the brain power to figure it out. I just haven't stopped to figure it out. What's happening?
So like when somebody's on trial for murder, you know exactly what they're accused of doing, and you understand the goal of the prosecution. It's to get a conviction for this murder charge. With this, I don't think people even know what the charges are or who these people are, and how this is
different than the one that didn't we just do? I thought we did this 6 months ago. Like, why are we doing this again? What's happening?
So this one is Christian Dawkins is on trial for conspiring to bribe, essentially, this is layman's terms, obviously, is on trial for conspiring to bribe college coaches to send him players to represent or advise financially after they leave a college campus. What makes this different is the first trial, it was mostly about defrauding universities, like compromising the amateur status of prospects and then sending them to universities where they were placed on scholarship, but the universities were defrauded because they were actually placing on scholarship what would be ineligible players. Now, it's all crazy because the idea that Christian Dawkins was defrauding a university is just silly. I mean, he was working on behalf of college basketball coaches.
Who was on trial that time?
It was Christian Dawkins, Merle Code, and James Gatto.
And
so
what happened
Christian
to
Dawkins,
him?
They were all convicted and found guilty, and they will all do time in federal prison. This is a second separate trial. So basically what the prosecution is trying to prove is that Christian Dawkins was bribing college coaches, specifically college assistants, to send him players to represent after they left campus. The defense is basically I wasn't bribing anybody. These guys were willing participants. They came to me in lots of cases because, I wanted them to send me players, but they wanted me to send them prospects. So that was the deal. I would work for them to send them prospects. They would work for me to send the prospects back to me. And so the defense is it's a very reasonable common sense defense, but what we learned with the last trial was
it's weird is that the victims in this – And the victims in this, in the way this is being set up, are the people who are being bribed, right? Is in a sense like they're bribing. It's like if you try to bribe a government official, the equivalent of the government official here is the assistant basketball coach.
Correct.
But the truth of the matter is, if there is a bribery of a government official case, and the government, it doesn't always look bad for the. Here they are victims because they're being outed, like in a way, but they're not. They weren't victims of anything here. They were actually. They're being dragged into this because everything they've done is being exposed.
Right. They're not victims in the traditional sense. You know, they're willing participants. It's why this case doesn't like it's laughable. All of it. You know, as it relates to the way college basketball actually works. But you know, in a federal courtroom in Lower Manhattan, you've got real people. With their freedom in real jeopardy. Right. It's a bizarre deal.
It's a little bit like, and in fact, of course, to the extent there are victims here, the victims are the, just like in the Albert Means case, the victims are, these adults are doing these transactions. Money's being thrown around, and they don't have the best interests of the athletes at heart. They have the best interest of what's good for them at heart. Those are the real victims, and to the extent that there are victims, those are the real victims.
Well, there's no question. I mean, Dan Wetzel, who's been covering the trial every day, put it well. He said the real tragedy here is that NCAA's amateurism rules take these student athletes who are undeniably worth something, evidence being that people are doing whatever they can do to get them onto campus or to represent them, you know, someday. The NCAA's amateurism rules prevent them legally from accepting their fair market value. And then they are surrounded by sharks, whether it's financial advisors, agents, college coaches, and they're basically like bait. And then the men that they trust, often the college assistants who recruit them, are taking money to then send them to people. If they happen to make it one day and become millionaires, the men that they trust are then agreeing to send them to shady, sketchy, in some cases incompetent financial advisors with no regard for how it might wreck their life. It really is a sad, sad thing.
Okay. So be that as it may, what were the bombshell revelations yesterday, and how might they play out to the detriment of, again, these are just people talking. So it's not hard evidence of anything. There are people talking about Will Wade and people talking about things involving the Arizona program, but it's hard to know what the NCAA can or will do about this. First, what were the revelations? And second, what might come of them?
Well, the biggest things were mostly connected to Arizona, because you have an longtime Arizona assistant. And I think more importantly, for the particulars of the future of Sean Miller, a longtime Sean Miller assistant, somebody who worked for him at Xavier and then worked for him at Arizona, on an FBI secretly recorded video explaining in pretty great detail how he's been cheating to get recruits on campus at Arizona. He goes so far as to say Raleigh Hawkins' cousin wanted to move to Tucson. So he did. I pay him $2,000 a month. The NCAA, I think it's important to note, changed its rules within the past couple of years to the extent that it allows them to use testimony and any sort of evidence that comes out in these federal trials. And the NCAA in the past has used the word of credible witnesses to convict, for lack of a better verb, college basketball programs of level one violation. So if you can use the word of somebody else to convict somebody else, I don't see why you can't use Book Richardson's own words against him. You know, there's no reason, no believable reason to think he was just making these things up or lying on himself while being secretly recorded by the FBI. So at the very least, what you have is an Arizona assistant on tape acknowledging that he committed level one violations for players who were, at the time, student athletes, playing for Arizona. you know, that's going to be the type of thing that gets, you know, a season vacated and could bring a, you know, bring postseason ban with it. So, you know, there's still no evidence that Sean Miller, quote, knew anything. But my God, I mean, like the way Book Richardson talks about this stuff and the way other people are talking about this stuff as it relates to Sean Miller makes it simply, you know, hard to believe that Sean Miller was really in the dark. And this is a point I haven't made publicly, but it is something that stuck out to me yesterday. There is also Book Richardson on tape saying that Will Wade came to him and wanted to hire him away from Arizona to work for him at LSU and confided him in him. Even though Book was at another school and recruiting Naz Reid, that he already had a deal in place for Naz Reid, that he already had $300,000 essentially set aside to get a deal done with Naz Reid. He just had to get the deal done, and Will wanted Book Richardson to come to LSU to help him get the deal done, and Book Richardson on tape says, hell, just give me $150,000 of that. Give me half of it, and I'll get the deal done. That's no problem. So what I think is really damning for Sean Miller, and that's obviously a bad sign for Will Wade, because we now have Will Wade on a wiretap talking about cheating. We got Book Richardson on a video talking about Will Wade cheating. Like, everybody's talking about Will Wade cheating. But what's really bad for Sean Miller here, at least I think, is Will Wade, Book Richardson's reputation in the industry was such that Will Wade was comfortable talking to him about massive level one violations. Like, Will Wade knew, if I need to hire an assistant to get a deal like this done, Book Richardson is the guy. How does Will Wade know that, but Sean Miller don't know that? I mean, just get out of my face. It is what it is.
I understand. Yeah, but we're – okay. But we're connecting dots, right? Like, just how do we know that? Get out of my face, whatever. I have the same reaction to the last Will Wade thing. Like, my offer wasn't good enough. I'm going to, you know, whatever. Like, I gave too much toward – like, we already had him. We already had him dead to rights, and he's back coaching.
Well, the issue with Will Wade – at this point, unless you're a complete moron,
you know, Will Jay cheats out his ass, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
There's no getting around it. Like, there is no, and I would say this to Will. I'd say, Will, I like you. I don't think you're a bad father or a bad husband. I don't think you're a bad person because of what you are accused of doing. But I do think you were a cheating basketball coach. There's just no way that is not true, given what we now know because of videos and wiretaps. But there is still no actual evidence that Will Wade did the things that Will Wade says he, on, you know, with his own words, says he was doing, or that other people have said Will Wade did. And so, if you know, Will Wade's defense at this point is pretty simple. Yeah, you can think I said whatever you think I said, and think I meant whatever you think I meant. I'm just telling you, I didn't ever do anything. And when LSU released it, like, okay, so, hey, Will Wade, Book Richardson is on an FBI-recorded video saying you offered him a job at LSU and that you wanted him to get a deal done for Naz Reid and that you had $300,000 to get a deal done for Naz Reid. Yeah, that's not true. I don't know why Book would say that.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay, so, yeah, no, that's not true.
Right. Yeah, okay, so
same thing. Same thing as last time. Right.
It's the exact same thing as last time. And what the position LSU's in, if you go back and look at the statement the athletic director at the time released about Will Wade when they reinstated him, he said, we talked to Will Wade. He denies any wrongdoing. And short of evidence to the contrary, he is still within the parameters of his contract. In other words, translation, we don't have the goods to fire him for cause right now. If we were to fire him right now, it would cost us about $10 million. We're not going to spend $10 million to fire Will Wade. We will wait for evidence to come out, or we might just ride this thing out. And now I think that's ultimately going to be a mistake because they're going to wish that they had just moved on at some point if they don't move on at some point. But either way, there is nothing at this point. Even though the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming, there is no actual evidence that Will did these things. And there might not ever be, because if it was all cash transactions, like if Will Wade took money, cash from a booster, and then turned it over to a player or a guardian or a mentor or whomever, a handler, then there's no paper trail connected to Will Wade. You're not going to be able to find anything in his bank account. All the players, Tremont Waters, Naz Reid, Javonte Smart, you know, the guys who would have been probably involved in this type of stuff, have turned pro. They're under no obligation to talk to the NCAA at all. It is possible that that they actually never find the evidence. And even if the evidence does exist and the NCAA is able to get it, that's years, you know, in terms of investigation, sending a notice of allegation, letting LSU respond. You know, if Will Wade can't be fired for cause until he is found guilty of a level one violation, that might buy him 2 or 3 years of time. It's an incredible story.
So then the other thing that strikes me about this is, and I don't know what the analytics are on Dan Wetzel's column. I read it yesterday. I think Dan Wetzel's great. But I bet not that many, relative to like a column he wrote about whatever, like you know, whatever the last column he wrote was about the NFL draft. I bet not that many people read this thing. Like I only because I just find myself like I'm not that interested. And what's amazing to me is that I think we're not that interested in the same way it became that way with steroids and baseball too. Like, we're just not that interested in the seamy side of it. We assume everyone's cheating their asses off. But then the larger thing is, because I'm not that interested, it doesn't really even bother me, really, particularly. I mean, it bothers me at some level because I feel that it should be going to the – it bothers me because the system's so freaking broke and so obviously broke, and it's money that should be going to the players is instead going everywhere else. And so that has always bothered the hell out of me. These particular revelations – don't bother me. They just confirm everything I knew. But partly what it does go to show is that if we ever switch to the system whereby the players get paid, as you advocate and I advocate, where they can do their own deals, one of the arguments that the NCAA has is that, oh, no, people won't watch them. They don't want to watch professionals. They don't want to. And I just think that's naive. We already know they're professionals. We already know this is happening.
It's not even naive. It's a lie. It's the same lie people used to say about the Olympics. Like, if you don't have real amateurs in the Olympics, people won't watch. And then we allow Michael Phelps to, you know, profit off of his likeness and be in commercials, and he's worth more money than, you know, most professional athletes, and we still watch him swim every 4 years. Can't wait to watch him swim every 4 years. It's the same
flying,
lie.
Flying tomato, baby. He's a gazillionaire. We love the flying tomato. Now they allow NHL hockey players. Let's be honest. The Winter Olympics were worse this year because they didn't have the NHL hockey players. Like, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is preposterous.
Every argument against allowing student athletes to profit off their likeness is an argument that is so easily swatted aside by common sense. And like, for you just start with the basic point that you just made. Undeniably, the system is broken. Like, you have people now going to jail because of the system in place, you know, creates this market. And so the point I've always made is allow student athletes, all of them, football players, basketball players, volleyball players, soccer players, I don't care. Take whatever you can get, make it above board, put it in a document. Like, it has to be legitimized, but there are no limits on what you can accept to go to school wherever it is you feel like is the best opportunity / deal for you. So if Nike wants to pay Zion Williamson $5 million to spend a year at Duke, Zion Williamson is going to get $5 million to go to Duke if that's what he wants to do. And what we'll find out is that on a local level, if FedEx wants to pay $2 million to ensure James Wiseman goes to Memphis, then let FedEx do that, and James Wiseman can go on a billboard somewhere. It does not matter to me. And I had some guy on Facebook yesterday say, but GP, if you do it like that, then players will end up going to schools they otherwise wouldn't go to over because of the influence of third-party representatives. And I'm like, dude, are you not reading? That's what's already happening. That's why Tremont Waters is at LSU. It's why Naz Reid is at LSU. And he said, yeah, but then if you do it that way, the biggest schools with the biggest corporate backings, they'll be the ones that get the best players. Again, are you not paying attention? That's already the way it works. We've got testimony coming out in federal court saying Nike takes care of Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Syracuse. That's how they get the best players, because Nike funnels them to their biggest and best schools. So what would really change? If you opened it up, the recruiting rankings year after year wouldn't change that much at all. The teams that are in the top 25 week after week wouldn't change that much at all. The schools that are good right now would be good then. And the only thing that would change is that the players who are actually worth this money would get this money. And then guess what? We have no more scandal. There is no more NCAA investigations into amateurism violations. There's no more whispering about why somebody went to this school. You'll know exactly why somebody went to this school, and there will be no more cheating. How do you clean up the sport? You make what is illegal right now legal. And then guess what? It's impossible to cheat, because you can't cheat. You're allowed to give whatever you want to give. People are allowed to take whatever they want to take, just like any other industry in this world.
Last question on this. Penny Hardaway is a very successful recruiter. We know that. How do we know he's not just cheating his ass off?
I don't know that.
Don't we assume that every successful cheater, I mean, every successful coach is figuring stuff out for people on behalf of people? It's why I wasn't so – people are trying to shame me about Will Wade, right? I refuse to be shamed about Will Wade. He's doing what people do. I hate to say it. I'm not being shamed about it. I don't know what the hell Penny's doing. Do I think literally Penny is not breaking a rule? I got no idea. But I assume maybe it's cleaner now this year, but in the wake of this stuff. But I assume everyone's cheating their asses off.
Well, a few things. One, I did have a coach say the class of 2019 is going to be the poorest class ever, because people are just scared to do big deals right now. I don't know whether that's true or false.
That seems a little like being scared to get on an airplane after an airplane crash. And unless it's a particular Boeing airplane, I don't see why that's – it's the safest time to fly is right after an airplane crash. Unless it's one of these Boeings,
Perhaps. Again, I don't know whether that's true. I just know it's what somebody said. I got somebody on Twitter last night also doing the Will Wade thing. Hey, when you were bashing Tubby, you were bringing up Will Wade. How does that look now? The fact that Will Wade was cheating has literally nothing to do with the fact that Tubby Smith was a disaster at his job. It appears Will Wade was recruiting successfully by breaking rules, but it doesn't mean that Tubby Smith wasn't a disaster. Like, one's got nothing to do with another.
The way they would be connected is that Tubby was a quote-unquote disaster because he refused to cheat. And because he refused to cheat, that's why he wasn't getting the players that Memphis coaches normally get. Look at the history of the Memphis program. Look at the reputation of Memphis kids. That's why he was a disaster at his job, because he refused to cheat.
Okay, here's the point I made, not just today or yesterday, but a year ago when I was discussing this. I said these exact words. If you genuinely believe it is impossible to successfully recruit at the University of Memphis without cheating, then it is idiotic to spend $3 million on a clean basketball coach at the University of Memphis. Just go spend $800,000 on a clean basketball coach at the University of Memphis, and the $800,000 coach can get you the same thing that the so-called clean coach can get you. So I don't know that I believe it's impossible to recruit successfully at Memphis without cheating. But if you believe that, if that's what you believe, then it was idiotic to hire a clean coach for $3 million a year at the University of Memphis, because what you were going to be doing, what Memphis actually did, is spend $3 million a year to get mid-major players to put basketball teams on a court that were terrible and could not draw more than 4,000 people to a basketball game. So if you actually think that's what it takes to successfully recruit at Memphis, then that makes the Tubby Smith hiring at the rate of $3 million a year even dumber than it actually was. As far as with Penny and his recruiting, I have no reason to believe that they're cheating, other than the, just sort of basic, hey, every everybody cheats. And if you recruit at this level, particularly outside of the Power 5 structure, people are going to assume you're cheating, right? But I have no evidence, and I haven't really heard whispers about this or that, other than people are aware of what Memphis is doing. But I will say this, and I don't know if this is a this is just my blanket response to basically every coach in America. I vouch for nobody. You will never hear me do a radio show or a podcast or tweet, you know, Penny Hardaway or any other coach in America is, quote unquote, doing it the right way. I do not know. I know that the sport is filthy and filled with cheaters, and that's why I'll never vouch for anybody. You know, I think that, you know, in reality, it's very hard. You know, Will Wade and Sean Miller weren't the only head coaches of the programs cheating. You know, it wasn't just the LSU and Arizona war over players, you know, for cash every year. They're just the two that are, you know, seemingly caught on wiretaps and have assistant coaches, you know, in trouble with their own words. But this stuff goes on in college basketball, and it's why I think the safest thing you can ever do, if you are, you know, somebody who speaks about or writes about this stuff publicly, is just say, hey, I don't know, you know.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.